Well, good evening. I greet you all in Jesus' name this evening. I have a short story about personal perspective, and it's an old story, and I read the story to the children last Sunday, and I thought I would try to just tell you the story tonight. And I picked the story because anytime you put a group of people together, we all come with our perspective on what's right and what would be the most appropriate way to do something. And tonight we're looking at how we've used the monies that we've raised together as a church, and we probably would all have an opinion on whether they were used rightly or wrongly. And so with our coming with our personal perspective, we also need to realize that we need wisdom that comes from God to know what value to place on our perspective and how to fit that in with everybody else's. So I have some verses from Proverbs 3 that I'll read then, but first the story. It's a story from India about six blind men and an elephant, and I imagine some of you may know it. So these six friends were sitting in their yard, and they heard an elephant in the street, and they said to each other, "Let's go out, see what this animal is. We have no idea what an elephant is." So they went out, and the first man, he got a hold of the ear and said, "Oh, this elephant's like a giant fan." The next man, he got a hold of the leg, and he said, "Oh boy, this feels just like a tree." The third one, he got a hold of the trunk and said, "Oh, this is just like a big snake. This elephant is definitely like a snake." The fourth one, he got a hold of the trunk of the tusk and said, "This elephant is definitely a spear." The fifth one, he got a hold of the tail and said, "Well, this elephant is clearly a rope." And the sixth elephant, he felt the sides of the elephant and he said, "Well, this is just like a big wall." And so they all looked, started talking, and they said to each other, "Well, this elephant, we've no idea. We've just figured out what it's like. This elephant's a rope." And the other one said, "No, it's not a rope, it's a tree." And so they proceeded to argue long and hard about who was right. And the owner of the elephant came by and he said, what's the big argument about?" And they said, "Well, we all have an idea about this elephant, we're not agreeing." And so he heard them out and he said, "Friends, you're all right and you're all wrong." So that's about our personal perspective. So hopefully in a church, our perspectives are at least mostly together. We still come with personal perspective. So with that, we need wisdom. So turn to Proverbs 3 and I'll read the first 32 verses, and I have them in the Message translation, so you can follow along and see how it jives with King James, I guess. "Good friends, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long time and a long, full life. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck, carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. You're blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom and when you make friends with Lady Insight. She's worth far more than money in the bank. Her friendship is better than a big salary. Her value exceeds all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. With one hand, she gives long life, and with the other, she confers recognition. Her manner is beautiful, her life wonderfully complete. She's the very tree of life to those who embrace her. Hold her tight and be blessed. With Lady Wisdom, God formed earth, and with Lady Insight, he raised heaven. They knew when to signal rivers and springs to the surface and dew to descend from the night skies. Dear friend, guard clear thinking and common sense with your life. Don't for a minute lose sight of them. They'll keep your soul alive and well. They'll keep you fit and attractive. You'll travel safely. You'll neither tire nor trip. You'll take afternoon naps without a worry. You'll enjoy a good night's sleep. No need to panic over alarms or surprises or predictions of doomsday just around the corner. Because God will be right there with you. He'll keep you safe and sound. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time, or try me tomorrow, when the money's right there in your pocket. Don't figure ways of taking advantage of your neighbor when he's sitting there trusting and unsuspecting. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder, always spoiling for a fight. Don't try to be like those who shoulder their way through life. Why be a bully? Why not, you say? Because God can't stand twisted souls. It's the straightforward who get his respect. So Proverbs is full of wise words. And as I go through my days, I often stop and ask God for wisdom. And I imagine many of you do too. So in all the decisions we face with money, with relationships, we all need wisdom that only God can give us. So let's pray yet. Dear God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this privilege we have of meeting together. And may this meeting bring honor and glory to your name, and help us as we go through the reports that we can see clearly how things were done, and help us to have wisdom as we make decisions from here out for the good of the church and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, certainly thank you for that, Joseph. Truly, we do need wisdom. And also appreciated what you mentioned in the part of the scripture that talked about not about failing to do good to your neighbor when it's in your hand and your ability to do it. And truly, we also will be looking at some of those kinds of issues tonight. As we were coming to church here, I told Rebecca that we might not be able to serve a full course meal tonight, but I certainly hope there will be choice morsels that you can take home with you. And I think we have just enjoyed some of those. We are, of course, you obviously have the handouts. Is there anyone who doesn't have one who wishes for one? Okay, I'm sure. All right. We'll start with the trustees' report by Joseph first. We realize that we aren't able to go through and do a line by line recounting of everything that's here, but we do want to have an informal enough atmosphere that you're free to ask questions, and if there's something that stands out to you or kind of sticks out. And you want to know, well, what does that expense mean or something? Well, just we want to give time for questions as we go through this. The You may notice that the pages are half the pages have numbers on them by hand, and that's what happens when you fail to ask the printer to number the pages. So a little bit of clarification there. We'll start with, as I said, with Joseph giving the trustees report, and then I will invite Keith and Nathan to come up to the stage, and then I guess then we'll just rotate, take your turn, and you'll see when your turn is, I guess.
Okay, so turn to page 5 in your report. It is a list of expenses for the kitchen, since that was kind of our big item for the year, maybe for the history of the church, I'm not sure. So we'll go down through there, and I'll just point out a few of the larger items, I guess. The fourth line there is the cabinetry. That was from Bontrager Custom Cabinets, $19,820. Countertop, that was granite, from Quality Granite, was $9,248. And then I combined a couple lines that were all the appliances, refrigerator, there was a card in there too, and then all the appliances, and that was like $11,000 in appliances. And then there's flooring, then the next, I'm trying to see which other line I wanted to make a note on. Oh, toward the bottom there is a line for the RO system. And we tested the water, and it was extremely high in nitrates, so it ended up kind of happening with the kitchen that we put in a water system to take care of the nitrates. And so now it's safe to drink. Before, it was actually not fit to drink. So enjoy the water. And then there are two pages that aren't in your report. One page is about the kitchen. There was a new compressor put into the freezer that failed fairly soon after we got it, and that was $800. That Midwest came and put a new compressor in that. And then there's a $500 refund that isn't listed on your sheet for the ice maker, and that was because it was damaged in shipping, and they refunded us $500. So it was a minor scratches, so it still works fine, and we were glad to just take the $500. And then the last thing I have is the stage got redone, and that was done by Dwayne, Rob, and Steve under Red Rock Construction. And he bid that work, and his bid was $2,850 to come in and take the wall down, build the steps, and hire a carpet layer to come in and re-carpet. So $2,850 for the stage. So that's all I have from the trustees.
Well, certainly thank you, Joseph, and the trustees and all of you who did so much to make the kitchen a reality. Just so grateful for that. I've also asked Marvin to just share a few words on some things that you're thinking about, some further improvements in the kitchen and or other trustee kinds of things. So I'll just let you come forward and do that now.
Yes, well, I want to echo, along with Joe Yoder and Joseph, we really appreciated the moral support, the monetary support that you gave in relation to the new kitchen. It was fun giving you choices and seeing your responses, and it's something that we all did together. One image that I still have of Joseph, and he mentioned this is maybe, well, other than building the church, I mean, some of us that came later, you know, we don't really know what it's like to build everything that's here, so we appreciate that. But I can still picture Joseph On top of the counters, the granite is extremely, extremely hard, and so we needed a hole for the RO faucet. And so you can see him drenched in sweat, just putting all his weight on top of a drill and going through two or three of these special bits trying to get that hole through the granite. So he put a lot of hard work into that. We were also really pleased, like we had estimated like the kitchen would be around 85,000. And so we were pleased to be in at the 72 mark. So we were sweating quite a bit through that process to hopefully stay within that budget. A comment about the dishwasher is brand new, of course. We had a new pump put in. It was still under warranty. And so there were some problems in the beginning. So if you got discouraged or had any thoughts about that, there is a new pump and it's working the way it should be now. So I really hope we can use the dishwasher for, we have cups, we have glasses, and so we want to use that. And also the table where it may seem easier and faster to just quickly wash it in the sink, but it's more sanitary to have that hot heat and use it for that. Several things that we're still doing on Saturday, we're planning to put in a cabinet to the left of the gas stove, and along with an RO faucet that comes out, and then we can put the orange or blue jugs on a cart, roll them, and can fill RO water directly into the big jugs. So that will be done yet. Things we are looking at doing yet is remodeling the men's cry room. So we have place for tables, chairs, et cetera. The fellowship hall could use paint, and then there's also a black backsplash that we're planning to put around the kitchen counters yet. And then possibly put in a fan or extra AC unit in the kitchen as well. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about doing going forward. So thanks again.
Can we get time for questions?
Oh, yes, any questions about any part of the kitchen? I know there was at least one couple that didn't like the color of the floor, but they're getting used to it slowly. So, but any questions? So, okay, thank you.
Good evening. This is a little bit new territory for me, so thanks for bearing with me. I did want to mention express appreciation for a little over a year ago, when Laverne asked if I would consider taking this job. At that point, we were looking at surgery for Sabrina in the fall and some other things that would it looked big to take on something new like that right then. And so I wanted to mention that Nathan graciously kept on for a few months longer till we get past that, and he has been a big help and helped several evenings in preparation for this as well. So I thank him again for that and for easing the transition time. All right, for the offering report, total money coming through the center offerings throughout the last fiscal year was $647,275.56. There was an additional little over $10,000 that came through, not through an offering, but some like for gifts in kind contributions, or some that went to alms fund or center missions that were not. Didn't actually go through a center offering, but were recorded in our offering software. So if you include that in with it, it's another $10,000 on top of that, which is approximately 32% more than last year. I think some of that difference is likely the activity center and the center kitchen and some of those things that were unusual. But also wanted to highlight for the center kitchen that total there, part of that total, just as a reminder, as Arlington shared, a little over 4,000 in that, Cedar Crest 10,000, so we can thank them for their help in that as well. All right, that's all I have initially on that. Are there any questions on that that stand out to you, or you wish to have clarification on, or something? Feel free to ask. Okay, on to the general fund statement. There, the center offerings there would be general fund offerings, of course, which is also up 27,000 more than last year, or a little under 20,000, excuse me. A few highlights on the expenses. I think there was some expectation that possibly utilities would maybe go down with the school moving to a different location. That didn't really happen. In fact, it's a bit higher than it was before. But just a point of interest, about $600 more than the previous year. I think some of that offset was likely additional kitchen appliances and that kind of thing that would have factored in, as well as the weather, of course. Okay, and then move on to the building fund and then ask for any questions you may have again. Building fund. The general building fund with $7,900 approximately. This includes an $800 transfer from PCS facilities fund. And so that's why that figure is different from the offering designations sheet. There was a transfer done there to help with some of the PCS renovations. And then this year, as far as the, and additionally, the center kitchen fund shows $35 more than what came in the offerings. That was because $35 came in the last previous fiscal year before this all started. Pilgrim School renovations, 21,000 some in this fiscal year. Then of course the center kitchen, which have heard from. Would like to also mention that as part of the general building fund, which the general building fund balance is actually higher now than it was at the end of the fiscal year report here. But there is about 4,500 that will be transferred yet to the activity center from this balance. So that will be coming yet. I would also like to mention the ministerial support fund that is not listed anywhere here. That is something that all of you have the opportunity to contribute to throughout the year if you care to. Just a reminder on it. Right now there's $572.50, so there's not a lot in there right now. What that fund goes for is for when ministers take time off work or to do church work. They can be reimbursed for their time through that fund as long as there are funds there. So just to highlight on that, there's just over $500 now, which isn't a lot. So if any of you feel led to contribute to that, feel free and just designate it ministerial support fund, and then it'll get put in there and used for that. Also, you're more than welcome to turn in expenses for reimbursement. If you do that, it is a help. If you have invoices and receipts, if at all possible, and I understand there's times when that's not possible, depending on the transaction, but if you can do that, just helps keep a clear paper trail. And I scan it into the church accounting software, and then it's for easy reference. And one example of that, the stage project that Joseph referenced was just a simple matter of pulling up that transaction and printing out that invoice, made it easy, and just makes for clear, easy reporting. So if you do have something that to turn in, if it's possible, please turn in receipts and invoices for that. Or simply give our address and have it mailed directly to me, and I can take care of that way too. Are there any questions or clarifications or anything that anybody would like to ask for? Great, thank you.
Well, certainly thank you for your efforts on this, Keith. If you can do Keith and Miriam a special favor sometime in the next few weeks, do it. The software server caused some problems right at a time when was down or was being changed, right at a time when Keith needed it very badly, and so he ended up needing to take time off of work and doing some late hours to try to get to meet the deadline that I had imposed for him when he thought he was, well, getting everything done early. So anyhow, just things that happen. I'm also, as we look at the bigger picture, I'm also grateful for some of the contribution that Nathan has made in helping get some better software in place. Of course, I say that on the heels of this, but we all realize these things can happen, but we do have some better software in place now that does help make the job more efficient, and I think hopefully a better system, and so that when the counters count the offering now, the checks are listed in this program directly, and so it helps reduce the duplication of effort and is something that we certainly like, and we're still hoping that in the process of time we can move forward to being able to do electronic transfer and some of these kinds of things that could enable more convenient giving or perhaps more systematic giving, and so if we have volunteers to help get that up and going, well, that would be great too. Let's see, I think there was something else, but oh, I know what it was. I might just also mention that as far as building fund offerings go, see, back earlier this year, I think it was in February, we had an offering where we said that the money that's raised in this offering will go for the kitchen, and then if there's extra left over, then we will then it will go to the back to the building fund, and so in that offering, not all of that offering was needed for the kitchen, and there's about I think $8,000 of that offering that wasn't used for the kitchen, and so it has seemed appropriate to us to simply leave that in the kitchen account, and at least until such time as some of the improvements are completed that Marvin was talking about here. Otherwise, the building fund offerings at this time continue to go toward the activity center, and we'll hear more about that later tonight. So.
Good evening. Ready for the Hands of Christ report? I think that's on page 6, right behind the trustee report. I think in general, a lot of this stuff is fairly routine. I welcome you to look over it and ask any questions you have. There are a few things I thought I would highlight. You'll note income from last year's fundraiser was $5,600, and half of that went to the building fund, and half went to our local needs fund that is used primarily to help support some counseling needs and that kind of thing. Just a note of interest, the mileage line item, you see that's almost $2,500. That represents about 5,600 miles traveled for that. One of the biggest things This past year was just getting the house and the cottage ready to go. We finalized purchase on the property June of 2015, and so a lot of the improvements would have happened in this fiscal year. I think most of what's on this report, it says cottage remodel. I think about 500 of that would have been used for porch and steps on the house as well. And I think that project is getting very nearly finished. I thought I might just comment on the blessing fund a little bit too. You'll see there we had a total expense of $5,895, and that comes right in. We budget about $500 a month for that. And we do take a 10% from the offerings to help cover that. That covers around half, and then the rest is usually covered by other donations. So it's also something that we keep, that continues to be in need. And it's not, you know, since the fish fry just took place a few weeks ago, that's not included in this report, but I thought you might enjoy a bit of an update on that. The fish fry brought in, as was mentioned, close to 10,000, was a little over 9,800 for the building fund. And that whole fundraising effort in those several weeks in the community brought in a total of $14,348. And 4,000 came in to help sponsor the fish fry, and we have around 880 of that left also towards the building fund. So we have a bit over 15,000 that has just come in towards property purchase, so we hope to make a substantial payment on that loan soon. The loan is due in full, I think, by June the 1st, 2018. I think that's primarily what I had kind of noted. Does someone have anyone have questions on that?
So about how much will be left on that loan? I mean, if you calculated the fish fry, how much?
Should be around 13 or 14,000 left.
13 to 14. Mm-hmm.
Anyone? Thank you.
Okay, if you just go across turn the page to the Center Missions General Fund. As you can see, the nice majority of our donations is from the center offerings. Then we do continue to get quite a few individual donations, and Cornerstone is just pretty regular in sending nice donations as well. And not a lot different, I don't think, from other years as far as expenses. One thing I do want to mention is we do offer that, especially to Lowell. He has done a lot for Center Missions in his travels to India with the seminars and things like that. And he's also done some traveling for other groups to other countries like Africa and places like that. And so he can turn in some hours for reimbursement, and that is what the that is referring to as a stipend. Other than that, I don't think I have any more comments about Center Missions. Does anybody have any questions that they would like to ask? Yes. Thank you. Okay. Then we'll go to the Center Aid Plan. Next page. This year, it seems like the money tended to go out a little faster than it came in. I think we're looking at having about $134,000 more expenses than we did income from assessments. And it's just the way some years can go. But we're thankful that we have the funds in hand that we can at least take care of those. Our enrollment is up a little bit from where it was last year, from 470 to 481. And obviously, this year we had some legal fees due to the Obamacare procedure that we had to go through to get our 501c3, I think it is, and then also our exemption status from the Obamacare. So that's what some of those additional fees were for that we had in this last year. Don't think I have a lot of other comments. I do want to mention that some things have changed a little bit with the Hutch Hospital. They've changed management, which we were sorry to see, because Kevin Miller, the, I don't know, CEO, I guess he probably was, had been a man that was very much wanting to work with the Amish and Mennonite aid plans in the community. And I guess he took a different position. And so what they had offered to us was a 25% discount for self-pay automatically given to us. And then if it was paid within a certain amount of time, we'd get an additional 10% off of that. Well, things have changed a little bit to where now I think we get a 10% automatically if for self-pay. And there is other funding available, but a person, each case that we have, that particular individual would need to apply for the assistance program that they have in place. And you do have to fill out some information, give them some of your, you know, financial information and things like that. So there are some things available, and actually the percentages are quite a bit larger if a person goes through that. And so there's some things that we're trying to figure out what the easiest way is to work through this process. But just to let you know, some things have changed a little bit from what it used to be. So anybody have any other questions? All right, thank you.
Okay, on to page 10, Pilgrim Christian Schools. First thing I want to do is thank you again for the support that we feel, not only in your monetary giving, but the support of the church community as a whole in supporting Pilgrim Schools. On the first page, you will notice down at the bottom the net gain is $9,271. This was a new year for us because we didn't know what to expect because we were a little unsure about utilities, new building, and we spent considerable amount on the renovations, and that report is towards the end of my speech here, but we just weren't sure. We budgeted about $12,000 for utilities, and we ended up with, well, we started a short year, so the $8,461 that you see under utilities down below here isn't quite accurate because we didn't have a full 12-month cycle that we were paying utilities. So we are optimistic that that utilities will not be exorbitant. Some of you that helped will remember that considerable energies were put into tightening up the building, insulation and better windows and doors. That is paying off big because there just isn't the cold and the heat that's coming through the windows and doors. You've all seen this. I'm not going to make any more comments on the income sheet. The balance sheet, year end, it's already 4 months old. you'll be getting the new monthly one directly. Then turning over to the page 12, the annual budget. Again, you've seen this, but the big number that we always look for is the average per wage earner per month. It is about $5 higher than it was last year. Some salaries have gone up, and so there's a small change there. Is there any questions about the budget that anybody has? Okay, and then the next page is simply the final renovations report on the school. And it's very similar to what we, I've forgotten. Maybe this didn't go out to you last year. I forget a little bit, but I think that if I recall correctly, there was something very similar to this, but they just weren't, the final numbers hadn't been in at the end of September. You know, we were still doing some renovations, but at the end of, somewhere in the middle of December, we closed out the books, and so any expenses at the school now are school expenses, not renovation expenses. Does anybody have any questions about anything? Again, thank you. The schools could not operate without lots of support from parents and grandparents and interested patrons.
All right, I'll be talking a little bit about Choice Books of Kansas. On the first page, the balance sheet, won't spend a lot of time there except to just note with gratefulness that we are still in a strong cash position. On the second page there, just a couple of things you'll notice. 2016 year to date, we have had book sales of almost $1.2 million, which feels like a lot of money, and we are grateful. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the sales trends for this year that are encouraging for the first time in a long time. Just going down the page and about the middle there, you'll notice the gas, oil, and mileage expense line item, 2016 year to date, about $40,612. This is another thing that we are very grateful for. The fuel prices have significantly helped the budget. Another just number that jumped out at me just because I thought it was interesting, $21,000 in motel rooms for the service teams as they are out, and that just represents a lot of time away from home and a lot of early mornings and fast-paced days, and we're very grateful for the people that do that work. Down at the bottom, you'll see the net income on operations of about $6,700. You'll remember that this actually is a semi-unusual number to have this be in the black rather than the red, and we are very grateful for that. Up at the close to the top in the other income, the contribution income, the line item $32,000, is largely volunteer labor. Most years, that is the difference, or a big part of the difference that enables us to keep operating. A couple of highlights for things that are happening in Choice Books of Kansas. One of the things is a tech upgrade that is costing a fair bit of money, but we are hoping enhances efficiency in route automation. The handhelds that we're using to service displays are getting fairly aged by tech standards, and Choice Books, as a larger organization, found a new piece of equipment that we hope will work better for us. Another thing that is very exciting is we are in the process of purchasing a house in Partridge to be used to house some of our VS staff. So we're grateful for that, and Marvin has been doing work on that, and I appreciate that. A couple of other notes. I just returned yesterday from our board meetings as a larger organization, And like I mentioned earlier, we saw very different reports than we have for a number of years, and just wanted to update you a little bit on some of those. One of the big things that has affected the organization in the last 2 years is the impending and now past retirement of our CEO, John Bomberger, who has been in that position for about 23 years. So it represented a lot of change in the organization. We are very, very grateful that God led, and Ken Gagner is now the CEO of Choice Books, and I'm very excited about a lot of the things that I think he brings to the organization. And I just throughout the process, throughout his first meeting as a CEO and in the first month of his leadership, I think it is just very clear that God has led, is leading, and will continue to guide the work. For a rolling 12 months comparison through 9/30/2016 versus the 12-month period ending 9/30/2015, overall sales sold from stores are up 8.2%. There are a number of things that have affected this, probably none larger than the very unexpected adult coloring book craze. It is very difficult to overemphasize the impact that adult coloring books have had on the print book market. We certainly do not consider coloring books to be the core of our work, but we are grateful for things that allow us to keep paying our bills. In retail, and I don't have a report that breaks out the overall impact, but it looks like, and the 12-month period ending 9/30/2015 for the total organization in retail sales, about $42,348,000 in sales. The last 12-month period, which is when we saw most of this activity, is higher by about $3.5 million. And a very significant piece of that is in coloring book sales. Another interesting number that we often talk about here is the impact that Walmart has on the work of Choice Books. Right now, as a total organization, Walmart represents about 25% of our total sales. In Kansas, we service a total of 54 displays in Walmarts, which represents 8% of our total display count, but they produce 21% of our total wholesale sales. So they are a significant piece. Over the last year, there was a thawing in the relationship there. We had a really good relationship with the buyer, and she allowed us to set quite a number of new stores. They have imposed a freeze again. About 6 months ago, they launched a strong initiative saying that they want everything that they have available in their stores available online as well. Because of our title rotation and things like that, it is very, very difficult and would be very expensive to comply with that. And so there's been a fair bit of back and forth and negotiation trying to figure out how to resolve that. Unfortunately, right now we're sort of at a stalemate and we aren't allowed to set any more stores. I think that's pretty much all I have for numbers. Does anybody have any questions about anything? At this point, yes, we are not getting kicked out. Obviously, depending how hard they decide to enforce that policy, we do take a pretty close look at the percentage of our total sales that Walmart represents. Any other questions? Marvin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a nerve-wracking experience having my first meeting with a new CEO and several new board members, but it was good and productive. Thank you.
This is from the activity center. Maybe before I go into that, I'll just make a few comments about the CAM mutual representative that I'm also responsible for, and I usually don't have a report on that. The main reason being is their annual meeting is almost always a week or 2 weeks after our annual business meeting here. So a whole year later, it's all old news, so I generally don't have much to say. 2 weeks from now, I would have a few items to share probably. So if you have any questions on that at any time, just feel free to ask about it. The chairman, Vern Wicke, asked me to read this report, so I'm going to just read it on the activity center. It's on page, well, mine doesn't have a page.
16.
Page 16. It's been about 7 months since the Earth Movers broke ground. They created a fine building pad. We continue to be grateful for state floodplain approval. The summer rains delayed the concrete work by a month, but we are very happy with the result. Brian Nisley started erecting the building on August the 9th, and he has basically finished the building with just a few things to wrap up. Jerry Yoder and his crew framed the shop maintenance building and covered it with steel. Richard Yoder installed urethane insulation on the walls and the ceiling. This was a significant and time-sensitive undertaking because we desired to get it done soon so windows and doors could be installed before the arrival of cold weather. Electricity, natural gas, and water are plumbed to the building, so we're now ready to have the outside entrances and concretes concreted. In fact, they finished that up yesterday, so the outside concrete is all done. Matt Yoder is about three-fourths done laying the brick. He is graciously working around the concrete crews and other contractors, and he is also almost done by now. If you notice, this report was written November the 4th. Windows and doors are scheduled for installation the first part of November after the sidewalks are finished. Our goal is to get all the exterior work done by the end of November before the cold weather sets in. This will allow us to continue developing the inside of the building throughout the winter months, and it looks like that's going to happen. It should be enclosed and winterized by the last of November. To erect the structure of the building, we basically use contract labor, but we plan to use more volunteer labor as we finish the interior. In fact, we have already had several work bees. As of November 4, income is at $601,847.03. This includes $32,000 from selling the 8 acres of land on the east side of Dean Road back to Clint Pierce, the original owner. Total expenses to date are $175,353.63, including the $15,429 price of the 3.8 acres of land, leaving the balance on hand at $426,493.40. The fundraising thermometers at the churches show that our initial goal of $600,000 has been reached. We are very grateful for the generosity of so many people. However, our revised goal is $760,000, as the updated cost projections for the main building rose to $680,544.64, and the shop maintenance building was added later, which came to $78,566.30. To reach our target, we will need to raise approximately $160,000. We will continue to build as we have the funds. So far, there are no big surprises, though there are a few expenses that had not been calculated, like engineering, driveway development, outside landscaping, and extra sidewalks. No doubt there will be other unknowns as we get further into the project. And in all fairness, there were some phases of the work that actually did come in under budget. So we're thankful for that. We appreciate everyone's interest in the work that is being done. I look forward to working together throughout the winter months. It is hard to project a completion date for this project. Ultimately, it will depend on the funding as to how far we can go in developing and finishing the inside of the building. So that's the challenge, I guess. But I do want to thank you very much as a congregation here at Center for your extreme generosity and the support. I'm not prepared to and probably wouldn't want to tell you the percentages of what each church has been contributing, but you have been very generous. So thank you very much for that. If you have any questions, all right, thank you.
Well, certainly echo that thanks, and we'll continue to take building fund offerings and of course allow additional gifts too as we move forward with getting the center built. Probably when the center built, it will be kept busy, just like the kitchen. We keep finding a lot of uses for the kitchen over here. So sure grateful for the efforts of that are being expended on that project. Moving now to the page 17 to the West Center Cemetery Fund. Ollie wanted me to go ahead and take care of the report here. The report looks quite different than some years because of the work on replacing the markers, and at the bottom half of the page you can see what the big picture is for the marker replacement, and certainly appreciate the effort. Those of you who have helped place the markers and for the contributions that have come toward updating this. And of course, we owe a big thanks to Ollie for spearheading this project. Ollie has also asked to be replaced as the center, or the West Center Cemetery Secretary. He had asked this some time ago, and that position has now been filled. Leroy Hirschberger has agreed to fill that position for the next 6 years. Are there any questions on the cemetery fund information here? Okay. If not, then we will move to the Mennonite Motorist Aid report. I was talking with Brent about this, and he asked if I would go ahead and give this report. Lauren Kipfer, who is on the board, wasn't sure if he could be back in time for the report this evening. And then I think Oren is the ministerial rep that serves on the Mennonite Motorist Aid Board. So I asked him what I should say. And on this first page, on the statistics page, about the fourth or fifth column from the left, there's an average vehicle year. And our vehicles really aren't that old, but they changed the computer program. And so at this point, trailers get listed as zero. And so the more trailers that you have, well, then the lower the average vehicle year. But maybe in another year, they'll get fixed. Brent is hoping. Then we have the claims, the final national report, the leveling, as you all know, since you paid your dues, was $149 per share for last year. That was taken care of. Page 20 has the claims by year for the local claims, and which actually the claims that we had here locally, if I'm seeing correctly, was less than it's been for the last 10 years. And so it's nice to see when those numbers show up that way. I asked, and then of course we have the summary by by year, which is where part of that was pulled off. I asked Brent, okay, so what shall I say? And then he said, well, just remind you that a high percentage of accidents still happen when people are backing up. So watch before you back, or watch when you back, I guess. And then he said, also remember that we are in deer season. And so if a deer jumps out in front of you, hit it. Or it's okay if you slow down, if you brake, to slow down. But he cautions against trying to swerve or miss it. And it might be better to hit it than it is to lose control trying to miss the deer. In probably all in all, Motorist Aid reminds us again that this is an opportunity to express brotherhood as we share together in this kind of way. Are there any thoughts or questions that you have about the Mennonite Motorist Aid program or report? Okay, that's probably good because I'm not sure if I'd know the answer. Okay, now moving to the next page, to the Alms Fund report. We have for income, there were three center offerings. You will notice that there's the Everance Sharing Fund grant, which was $2,000. The CAM Mutual Sharing Fund was $3,000. And my thanks goes to Marvin for helping facilitate the sharing that CAM Mutual does. Basically, both Everance and CAM Mutual, for them to maintain their 501c3 status, it is helpful, good for them to be contributing or donating money back to the constituency that supports them, and then when we provide assistance to our members, then CM Mutual will also provide matching funds up to $1,000 per case per year, and Marvin's been very good about turning those in and helping us collect those. I could also mention that I serve as the advocate for Everance, and I have a certain number of things I need to do annually in order to maintain sharing fund grant status. And so if you hear me or see me make some of these announcements or do some of these things, it's partly to help keep qualifying for this money. So just, I guess, a heads up on that. You may notice there's a little bit of difference in the income on designated gifts to the disbursements, and that probably just comes as a matter of difference in timing of when the gifts are made and when they're paid out. Also, as we look at the disbursements both for the Alms Fund and for the Benevolence Fund, we realize that we want to strike a balance between clear openness and transparency, and also protecting the recipient's dignity, and as well as we also want to provide an avenue where members can give to other members anonymously. And so these are some of the things that we try to do all at the same time. I'm so grateful for the assistance of the Deacon Committee. You agreed to putting a committee in place. Marvin Utzi is the chair, Titus the treasurer, and Merle Yoder has recently taken Lauren Kipfer's place. And so I just really appreciate the opportunity that we have to work together, and the breakdown for all the income and the expenses I've shared with these brothers. And so if you and we're happy to give any additional detail if you ask us for that, but in the meantime, we hope that we're finding the right balance to these things. Also, there's several other things. One is that one of the things that we discussed in our meeting last evening was possibly developing something along a special projects line. And I'm taking this cue from from Cedar Crest, where they have a place at the back of the church that they have a locked box and a place where they can display what the contributions may be for a special project. And so it's a place where money can be left for projects that might not be in a Sunday morning offering, but are still projects that are good to support. And so, for example, like last year when they had several young people go to Haiti, they opened it up to a special project. Whoever would like to help provide support for the young people going for the mission trip to Haiti could contribute to that project. Or when Mark and Christina had their house fire, that was opened up in the same way. And so these are things we're thinking about. We need to create a place, and if you have thoughts, suggestions, ideas, we may be interacting with possibly moving that idea forward. Okay, moving, are there questions on this, what I've covered so far? Yes, Cyril? Actually, the end result probably isn't any different. One of the things that is done there is that James would track, how much has come in and would provide some regular updates, which could also be done in this case. I'm not sure if that's a good question. I'm not sure if there's enough practical difference to make that or not. Yes, Nathan?
One thing that would come to my mind, that was part of this discussion, is that you come up, but some things can get a little bit of a gray area, whether it's engine tax and rental.
Mm-hmm.
For example, doing towards trips of some huge
mission trips would not, yes. Yes, that's true. Yes, because giving for mission trips specifically by person would not be as likely tax deductible. Okay. These are probably all parts of discussion that we should. Other comments or thoughts? Okay. I'm kind of hurrying because I had really planned for the service to be finished at 8:30, but we're not going to quite make it. So. We will, I'll just mention several highlights on the prison Bible studies. We had a larger fund balance, so we didn't take any offerings this past year. Arlington gave us one of their offerings, and that certainly helped. Again, a special thanks to Titus, who still once a day a week goes out to talk to inmates at the Hutchinson Correctional Facility and facilitates courses there. Cora, Harvey, and Vera continue to grade. And then Jason and Rosanna Yoder have just recently started grading, and we're enjoying their enthusiasm and would welcome others to join them. Then for the rest of what's in here are mostly just our enclosures that you can peruse at your leisure, from on the sewing, the library committee, the clothing relief. Thanks to each for having prepared those reports. Thanks to Harold and Judith for doing the membership roster, and Gary for doing the roster of the church election results and appointed officers. Several other things that we'll take time for announcements here in just a few minutes. In relation to the membership roster and some of the tracking kinds of things that are done, as it relates to the community calendar, James and Janet have been doing the calendar for the community for the last 20 some years, and for some reason they decided that maybe it might be time to give someone else a turn, and that's not been just quite as simple to find someone else to take that turn as might have been imagined. And so there's been a number of discussions over the course of this past year. And what has kind of developed out of this is that Cedar Crest will be doing their own calendar, as will Arlington. And so after we became aware of that, we asked Cornerstone if they'd like to be on a calendar with us. They were open to that, but as things developed, said, well, they might go ahead and do theirs. And so coming in for next year, we'll probably have our own church calendar. And Harold and Judith have graciously agreed to develop that. And so that will be the look for next year. And so it may be that the 2016 calendars become a collector's item. I don't know. So. Now moving to announcements, and I'll invite your announcements as well. Of course, I'm sure you're remembering that we have the baptismal service next Sunday with a carry-in following, and of course we're hoping for quite a few visitors, and I'm sure that you women will remember that as you prepare the food. So, what announcements do you have? Okay, here.
Well, this is an announcement.
Yes.
I wish I had said while you were talking about the West Center Cemetery. I wanted to express my appreciation for the work that's been done at the West Center Cemetery. It really has improved the looks of the cemetery, and I think all of you deserve a great thank you for heading up that project.
Yes, certainly echo your your thanks for that. Yes, a big thanks to Ollie for all the work that was done at West Center Cemetery. That just
I'd like to mention
yes.
that
okay.
Headings, what's his name?
Mervin
Headings helped a lot.
Yes, mm-hmm. See Mervin and Glendon Ralph and Ollie worked together. Yes. Certainly evidence of what can be done if we work together. So, yes, certainly is. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Well, if not, then we're ready for a closing song. Okay. We will let this be the dismissal song then. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him.
Thank you each for coming and participating.